to number 8, commercial whale watching position statement, a briefing and a decision. Mr. Pamplin again, and Dr. Watson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. Nate Pamplin again, joined by Dr. Julie Watson, who is our killer whale policy lead. As background, we had been working for over a year on the rule package for viewing of commercial whale watching. We provided a couple updates throughout late 2019 and 2020. We brought the rule package to you in early December. It was a lot of interest, 2 hours of public comment. The decision date was proposed to be December 18th. And the commission said, gosh, the commission hadn't even had a chance yet to really deliberate on and process a lot of the public comment. So a special meeting was scheduled on Tuesday, December 15th. And it was at that meeting where we had a chance to really walk through the rule package in more detail, provide some more additional rationale. But their commissioners had expressed interest in adopting a position statement that would be separate from the rule package, but would just articulate a number of things. Things like, yes, we're focusing on this rule package on commercial whale watchers, but a lot of activities going on for the recovery of southern resident killer whales. There's three major threats. Noise is but one threat. And commercial whale watching is just one component of the noise threat. So there was this wanting to put a broader context about the rule package. And that's where that position statement was identified as a solution there. There was also some measures that the commercial whale watch industry was voluntarily doing that we did not put in rule. And commissioners had indicated that they wanted to endorse those measures. And that was another component of the statement. And then lastly, there was a sentiment shared of, well, what is the rec boating provisions that can be done? And so while there was a bill that was passed in 2019 and we walked through the Be Whalewise guidelines, there was interest in trying to see what else could be done. And so we had provided a draft statement that same week for your decision on December 18th. That agenda, much like today, was jam-packed. The rule package was adopted, but the commission at the time postponed taking action on the position statement because it only been in your inboxes for a couple days. So we took the feedback we heard from you all. I also contacted a couple commissioners that had been more engaged on some of the comments. We sent you a draft on January 8th, heard back from a couple commissioners. And so today on the agenda is an updated draft that has all the proposed edits and track changes. But Mr. Chair, I guess I would want to open it up. Is there still interest in pursuing a position statement? And then if there is, then maybe we can turn to the document and the edits.
Well, I guess I'll open it up to Commissioner Linville. Has her hand up.
For me personally, the commission statement is important. I had a hard time feeling like we were singling out one user group around this really important species. And so for me, it I don't know if it's relief for my conscience or what, but it's just important for me to have a statement around that, identifying that the intention was not to, pick on one user group, so to speak.
Commissioner Baker, Commissioner McIsaac, Commissioner Thorburn, in that order.
I wasn't at that meeting where the decision was made to develop a position statement. And to be perfectly honest, I am not trying to undo something that the majority of the commission decided to do. What I do want to say, though, is I don't think we should get in the habit of doing these things on any kind of a regular basis. It doesn't double our workload, but now we're going to spend a bunch of time seeing if we can all agree on something that is it's hard for us to all agree on something. No matter what side you're on, there's going to be things in a position statement that I'm going to disagree with, and maybe Larry will, I don't know. We will be trying to get on paper something that we should be able to say on the record. We have a hard enough time and spend enough time passing policy that I'm starting to feel that, number one, we don't need position statements, and number two, maybe I should ask for position statements on things that I want to make sure that everybody understands how I feel, and that's the last thing I'm going to do. So we're talking about meeting creep and time creep, and I'm putting this on our staff, and I just think as we start to do the creep, we should at least pause and see if it's really something that is absolutely necessary for us to do our job.
I'll just say right now, I agree with Commissioner Baker. I think it's overkill. I think it's unnecessary. And Molly, if in due respect, if you think that we want to screw down on top of the recreational boating industry because we had to do something with the commercial whale watching industry, they have already been ground into the mud because of all the restrictions on fishing opportunities. So we're just sharing the pain for a reason that I don't agree with. So that's what's on my mind. I think it's overkill, and I don't think it's necessary. Commissioner McIsaac, Commissioner Thorburn, and back to Commissioner Linville.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The idea of a statement came up on the 15th of December, and the staff response draft, the commission on the 18th also said, let's do one. And we tried to wrestle with the very question of not getting wordsmithing, and the time to do one of these is immediately thereafter. So I think it was a good idea to start with for the simple reason if there's a significant part that could be misinterpreted, we ought to be clear about that. On the 15th and the 18th, we did talk about the recreational. I see my thing is unstable. Can you still hear me? Yeah.
Okay. Sort of. But
anyway, I think this gets down to not the recreational fleet that's out there fishing or crabbing, but those statements that were made on the record back on the 15th and the 18th, that the private boats should be encouraged to voluntarily go along with the same restrictions that the commercial boats were doing. There was no objection at that time. I thought we had agreed to leave it to the staff to police it up and reflect what was said on the record. And it seems to be there's some disagreement over this recreational part because of some sort of interactions with the recreational fleet to start with. But you know, everything was on the table at that time. We made a decision. We made a decision to have that in a statement, and it ought to just reflect what was said on the record. And so I think this draft gets very close to doing that, and if we could just seal this draft up as it stands in front of us, we could be done with it.
Commissioner Thorburn, and then Commissioner Linville.
So I agree with proceeding with the position statement. And I also like the changes in the language that have been made. I like the idea that we're on some of these more difficult and challenging issues, we're capturing in a position statement the discussion. So for that reason, I support going forward.
Okay. Commissioner Limmel, before I go to you, I see our esteemed lawyer has his hand up. Joel?
Thank you, Chair. I would offer a legal point on this question, and my point here is purely at the hypothetical level with no intent towards this particular position statement whatsoever. Generally, you know, when the commission acts, it acts as a body. When you vote to take an action, that is the action that if it's challenged in court, that's the action that I have to defend. And generally in court, when I'm defending that, it speaks for itself. The court may look at a transcript of the dialogue and discussion by the commissioners as they debate that action, but any one statement of any one of those commissioners does not speak for the whole commission. It may be interesting or relevant some, but it does not represent the commission statement. So, having a document like this follow another action, there could be times where if the statement says things differently or is interpreted differently than the underlying rule, then that could create potential conflict that could make it more difficult for me to defend legally. On the other hand, if there was ambiguities in the rule, there's a chance that a written statement could help interpret those ambiguities. So those are just additional points, to think about as you contemplate this topic. And I'm happy to answer any other questions.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Commissioner Linville.
Quickly, to get to Barbara's point, I actually totally agree with that. For me, this was a different situation than we are normally in. And for me, it was being legislated into making a decision. And it may just be that I don't like to be told what to do or think. And so I was not comfortable with being told what to vote ahead of time. And so the position statement for me is the ability to sort of push back against that a little bit, in a collaborative way that this wasn't intended to be punitive.
Thank you, Commissioner Linville. Commissioner Smith.
So I live here where the whales live behind me there. That's, like I've mentioned before, that's the view out my window. And, I'm kind of new to this issue. So if I step in, something here, but most recreational boaters who end up maybe observing killer whales don't necessarily go out there to do that. First of all, they generally don't know where the whales are. The whales kind of come upon them when they're out there fishing or doing something else. So there's already these very, strict distance guidelines for what recreational boaters can do when the killer whales are in their vicinity. And they're pretty strict. So I guess I'm not sure what the thought was that we would do something more to require from the recreational boaters when they're, we could tell them all to stay off the water, but, that's not realistic.
Okay. Any other comments? This is a decision item. Nate Pamplin, please.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. If the commission proceeds with wanting to pursue the position statement, I'm happy to share my screen and kind of walk through it. There is one area that has been edited, and full recognition this is a commission statement, but I just wanted to bring your attention to kind of some concerns for you to consider. When I heard the commission talk about we need to do more with the rec boating interest, I want to share with you that throughout this past year, while we've been talking about the commercial whale watch rules, we've been approached by rec boaters, organized recreational boating interests. And we told them, no, this is focused on commercial whale watching. We've already done the rules. This is a very narrow focus. And so I'm a little bit concerned at the way the version has been edited, where it's really a directive of asking rec boaters to do these things, albeit voluntarily. In the version that I drafted for January 8th, we talked about, first off, for the general public to recommend viewing southern resident killer whales from shore. There's a great whale trail and lots of shore-based sites. Secondly, if you want to be out on the water, to go with a licensed commercial whale watch operator. They know the distances and the rules and the ecotypes and can share a great experience on the water. Third, if you're a recreational boater, the department would work with the organized boaters and partner with them to figure out what that communication strategy is. As worded, we've dropped the, as edited, we've dropped the whale trail reference. We've dropped the recommendations to view on commercial whale watching. And then we've just said, well, department, go out and promote additional voluntary restrictions with the rec boating community. And so I know we would certainly partner with the organized boaters, but I just wanted to call out those additional steps that we thought were important to include in the statement. Thank you.
And Nate, that's well said. I do know, having spent 42 years in that industry, that the big associations that manage those and are representative of those industries have been working on the orca whale piece, distance and speed, for years, and still are. And all the dealers involved that sell boats have pamphlets and educational opportunities. I think it's a whole bunch of about nothing. I mean, I think it's overkill. They're already doing it. So that's my position. I see Mr. McIsaac's hand is up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we ought to stay with our decision of December 18th, leaves up to staff to try to police up and reflect what was said on the record. If the staff feels like putting in this business about staying on shore and the rest is fine, but we should not be getting into wordsmithing here at this point in time. We've already made that decision once. I'm comfortable with leaving it up to the director and Nate Pamplin to put what was said on the record and make this look as good as possible.
Commissioner, excuse me, Vice Chair Baker, please.
Mute, Barbara.
Hi, I was going to say something about you, Molly, so I don't want to be muted. First off, if there's anybody on this commission, and this is absolutely honest and from the heart, that I would disagree with, my first choice would be Molly, because she is so open-minded, always has a smile on her face, does not take things personally. So Molly, take this in good humor, as you usually do. But I think that this discussion that we're having kind of proves my point. We're going to argue about this forever. And there are things in this that, you know, whale watching is one of the very few things that we do that I understand to its core. I mean, this is what I've done for a long time in all over the world. And I completely agree that private boaters should stay away from whales as much as commercial boaters should. But that's not a step we took. And we have absolutely no authority to tell private boaters what to do. And us putting this kind of, to me, throwaway line in a statement, it's just, I mean, if anything, it diminishes our authority to me rather than increases it. But I don't want to get down to wordsmithing this, but I did want to go back to Molly's point really quickly. I don't like being told by the legislature to do things either. And I certainly get your point on that. But one of the things that I understand is that the softballs aren't going to come from the legislature. What's going to come from the legislature are things that are really hard and really divisive. As an example, we spent all morning talking about hound training. Can you imagine if we'd have asked, you know, staff to go do a position statement on what we said on hound training? But that was a decision that we were required to make either now or later. I don't think that being told what to do is a very good indicator of when we should do these position statements. And just to finish, I believe when we should do them, and a really well done one was the on just mega issues like the wolf issue. Our predecessors, maybe Larry, I don't know if you were here then, but our predecessors took on a huge project, did a wolf plan, and did a position statement supporting that wolf plan. And it looked ahead and it thought about some problems that might happen and we might need to solve. And it was well thought out. It wasn't to justify what they did. And I think there's a difference there. And I really do think we should think about whether we do these things or not generally, because I, and finally, I'm also a lawyer. I would hate to try to add in authority where what we should be doing is making our points on the record in support of a decision we made, rather than putting together another document that's just going to muddy the legal waters.
Yes, I want you to know, you probably haven't been watching, but Commissioner Linville's been laughing and smiling at you the whole time. But now she has her hand up.
Okay.
Commissioner Linville.
So this isn't a sword that I'm willing, that I need to fall on. This is not my sword. I felt that the science was saying very clearly we were talking about vessel noise was the problem. And so I just wanted to acknowledge that, but I'm acknowledging that now. If I also am, what I, you know, could really hear, Barbara, is like, I'm just putting you in the position, well, the rest of the commission in the position of sort of being told what to do or agree with, which is the thing that I didn't like in the first place. And so this is just, if this is something we need to let go, I'm not going to raise a fuss about this. I'm not. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think we're picking a fight we don't need to fight. The recreational voting industry is all over this. That's my position on it. What does the commission want to do? Nate, you want to talk it over with the director, and or what are your thoughts? I guess at that, and we'll get something moving here.
Well, Mr. Chairman, At this stage, I guess I commission statement, based on the sentiment I've heard, I think that there could be a motion made to, there's really no act. I mean, it's just a no action. There's not even a requirement to vote. So if this is something that kind of dies on the vine, that's fine by me.
Okay. Kelly, did you want to speak to it?
I think Nate hit what I hit was going to say, but I would say it, you know, counting up non-vote votes, it feels like we're kind of there anyway.
Dead on arrival, I guess. Well, nice to see you again. I haven't seen you since this morning.
I've been here, just lurking.
All right. Well, that takes care of number 8. We are now